Welcome to a very special panel podcast.
Special edition.
Panel
cast?
Yes, a panel podcast.
Yeah, so, hey guys, Derek and Tony here with you. We wanted to share some more of our fun from Motor City with you guys.
And we took the time to have a panel about us, because why not talk about us some more?
Because, well, we're kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so this is this is just one of the other things that we did at Motor City where we kind of talked about how we got started, you know, things that we do that are a little bit more behind the scenes. Had some random questions in there about, you know, like from audience members about digital versus print, I think was in there, and pairing superheroes with beers. Just one little warning, some of the audio is a little rougher to hear.
Yeah, we were in a giant room with shitty audio, so we had to make do with what we had, and with all our fans in there, you know, we had to tell them all be quiet.
Well, I think the biggest problem was that we didn't realize how poorly it would be picking up from people that didn't want to get up from their chairs and come up to the mic. That, you know, when they're all the way in the back of the room, you know, it made it a little difficult. But hopefully, you can catch the the idea of what's being said and asked in there.
Yeah, if you hear kind of silence, we're not done yet. We're still going to talk, so keep on listening.
Yeah, we'll be back, and keep your ears peeled. We've got a lot of other fun stuff from Motor City coming up soon, so I think this is where we tell them to listen to the panel, right?
Yep, listen to the panel. When I say stop, it means it's over.
So, Drunk on Comics is a podcast website, Twitter, Facebook, accounts. What we try to do is promote comics.
That's what we are?
What? Yeah, we're a group of guys that...
Yeah, I think that's what we are. Aren't those things. That's just part of how we reach the masses.
Our brand name, Drunk on Comics, is, yeah. Hello, people.
Come on in.
Come on in.
Are you sure you're in the right room?
This is for Drunk on Comics podcast.
That's what we like. Oh, by the way, I'm Derek.
I'm Matt.
I'm Tony.
Special Agent Kevin.
So, I'm sorry.
So, that's okay. I was going to get to our names in a second. So, anyways, our Drunk on Comics podcast, we do it weekly. We do some talking about newer comics off the shelf. And we tend to focus on the big two as they tend to, put out the most comics. But we also like to highlight specific small comic books from publishers that either are lesser known or not known at all.
It's definitely important to talk about the non-too-big brands, just because DC Marvel is, what, 60%?
No, they're closer to, like 80-some percent.
Is it that big?
Yeah.
I thought it was...
70 to 80, because I think last I saw they were like around the 35 to 38 percentile each.
Well, sure. But it still leaves a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, well, and we like to focus, I mean, because, you know, like Matt said, I mean, we want to promote the comic book industry as a whole. It's not just about, you know, we read a lot of, like, the three of us read a lot of Marvel, Kevin reads a lot more DC, but, you know, some of the best stuff that you find is stuff that's not necessarily jumping right out at you because they don't have the money to advertise as much, and they don't have the voice that's out there, and, you know, you can find some amazing stories, amazing art, you know, that sometimes you wouldn't have known about. And the fun thing is then you see these people going on and working on maybe their own creator-owned Image or doing bigger books at Marvel and DC, and it's fun to see that journey that they take.
But ultimately, they forgot the biggest thing that we do is we like to get drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, and we say that jokingly, but it's more or less, you know, when you're having a few drinks, you're a little more free-spirited, you're just laid back, and that's kind of how we look at this and, well, as life, and just have fun with what we're doing. If we weren't having fun, we wouldn't be doing this. Yeah. And it's worked out to where this just is us getting together like we normally would at the bar.
Well, that's kind of how it started for us. I mean, I was listening to a bunch of podcasts, and Tony and I in particular would be out, and, you know, eventually the conversation turns to comics, and, oh, did you read this? No. Oh, well, this happened. No. Did you read this? Oh, you know, and our friends are coming up going, nerds.
We're like, yeah, whatever. Meanwhile, the girls that are with them at the bar are like, and I'm going to go talk to somebody else over here.
But, you know, so I called Tony one day, and I was like, dude, we need to just start recording this. And it was at the bar one night where we really started diving in, and Tony, I'll let you kind of take it, you know, from here, how we kind of got into the whole concept.
Derek was kind of saying, you know, we should do some reviews and record it, and they do this podcast, and it started brainstorming, well, what's the goal of this? And, man, because we're like, we're knowledgeable enough. We can just easily record us talking, and it should be fun or entertaining. We at least think we're funny. but then we started saying, okay, if we're going to do this, then we need to have a cool name. So we started going through just all these random, just off-the-wall name. What was it? A comic bomb was the one that we kept thinking was cool.
But unfortunately, there's a comedy troupe that uses that name, and, you know, so... You know, we wanted something that had no ties to anything else.
We wanted something that no one else has used yet, but also at the same point, something that tied in with comics to kind of say who we are in the name itself. And while we're sitting at the bar, I started thinking of, well, let's tie it somehow with drinking. We're coming it up with at the bar. We talk about this stuff at the bar. So I kept on in my head thinking like Comics Hangover or something where... You know, you're reading so many comics that you get drunk off them, and then it's like, drunk on comics. We started Googling that. That's it.
We're just on our phones, like, looking up, okay, nothing. Can find that as a phrase. There's no URL taken. There's no email taken. There's no Twitter, no Facebook. We're like, done. Sitting at the bar, signing up for everything right then and there.
Just so that was kind of the – and then once we had that name, we started hashing out what we're going to do. And things have changed since it first started, but coming up with a way to then incorporate the beer and the comics. So really the only thing that we really came up with that night that we still keep was booze in a book. And it started off with us, like I said, somehow, how can we talk about drinking? How can we talk about comics? And I remember trying to say, like, you know, maybe... I don't know if you said doing a pairing, but I kept on just thinking in my mind.
Well, I think we originally were talking about, like, well, maybe we review one beer each week, and we're like, well, can we tie it in with the comic book? And, you know.
And I was thinking of, like, the Dark Knight and, like, a dark stout. And that's where kind of we're like, oh, we could pair them together in a way where we think the book, you know, somehow would be a great drink to read while you're reading the book.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes it's sometimes it's based on the actual drink itself because it's, you know, the mood of the comic goes well with that drink. Sometimes it's just based on what the name of it is.
Yeah,
you know?
The name of the beer.
I mean, you know, try and have a little fun with it, but.
And then you and me started, and we realized we needed a few more opinions.
Well, two people, you don't get as much conversation going. So you add in a third person. And now you've got a little bit more dynamics. But we've really found that our best podcasts are the one where all four of us can get together because you can either have teams where people will argue, you know, two against two. You can still have the dynamic of three people if one person's like, hey, I don't know much about this subject, so I'll just, you know, sit back. And so we found that four has been a really good number for us.
And the Tony talked about when we first started the first couple podcasts weren't that great. I mean, I'll be honest, they struggled a little bit, but you know, there's a learning curve that goes.
Oh yeah,
in.
lots of edits. We caught ourselves with a lot of ums, a lot of dead space on the air. But then there's the software itself we had to get used to as well.
Yeah.
It took a lot of time to get used to it, to cut down the edits, to make it really audible.
Well, that was
for the listeners.
And that was one thing too that we consciously. There's multiple different ways to podcast and how you want to do it, but we kind of consciously made an effort to say, we're just going to do this live. We're just going to do it and record it straight how it is, as if someone else was in the room with us while we're recording. There's no right or wrong way to do it. There's some people that will stop, edit, add music, do different sections and everything. Those people got a lot more time on their hands. I was kind of like, I'm not taking that much time to go through, break this up, switch this around. And I think it's created a lot more personable atmosphere. People at home can listen, and you'll hear our mistakes. You know, we won't try to admit them, but we...
Well, you'll hear the mistakes. You'll hear, you know, Tony's phone ringing on most episodes.
Oh, dude, everyone's phone has gone off at least once.
Sometimes we're eating food and you're like, and then we're like, oh yeah, we shouldn't eat food anymore. We've made that a rule.
I still do this. The wrinkling of the plastic.
Yeah.
Of the bag.
Oh, Derek always gives me the death stare while I'm tapping with a pen.
Because when he talks, he likes to do this. So you're gonna hear this at home when you're listening.
Yeah. Well, especially when we were using this mic.
Yeah, we've recently upgraded to each of us have our own mic, and the sound quality is much better. But it's one of those things, like, if you're thinking of doing your own podcast, you know, where do you start? Do you invest a ton of money right up front? And we kind of chose to, hey, let's start creeping into it. And the more we've done it, the more we're like, hey, I can throw in an extra $20 this week. And so we invest in newer equipment as we go along. We still enjoy doing it.
Yeah, and we, you know, before, I mean, we all dumped a bunch of money, we were like, let's see if people actually want to listen to us. You know, because, I mean, like Tony said, we think we're funny, we think we're entertaining. you know, opinions vary. And so, yeah. Now, I want to ask you guys, I mean, like, I know what my thoughts were on starting this. What were the reasons you guys wanted to, like, do this besides just us hanging out? I mean, were there any extra goals that you were hoping for, or perks out of the whole thing?
Well, I mean, my origin story is you called me, and I'm like, I was just like, dude, when he called me, I hadn't really picked up any comic books in like 5 or 6 years. I was out of it. So Derek actually kind of wanted me as a perspective of the 80s, 90s comic book guy.
Our historical nerd.
Yeah. The only thing I read in the 2000s basically was that DC Marvel mashup. That was about it. And then, but I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I'll pick up a book here or there. And now I got a draw at a really shitty comic book store around the corner from my house. And I'm just doing this as long as I'm having fun.
Matt?
My brother and I basically would have the same types of barroom conversations that him and Derek were having, to the point where it drives my wife crazy when we're, like, in the car together, because we won't stop talking about comics. But or just, you know, like, different stories, or, oh, this was cool, and, oh, what do you think, you know, this character would do? But so when they asked me to be a part of it, I'm like, I can do what I can, and so I'm only in like the podcast every other week, just because, you know,
you suck. Schedule.
Yeah, because I suck. but schedules are busy, and what's been nice is because we have four of us. If we are down one person that week, you know, they can still record. We've got another guy, Jim Toe, who's a local artist, and so he still comes in and fills in from time to time, but. I mean, really, that my expectations were to have fun, but I understand that you don't always have all the time in the world to do something like this every week. And so if scheduling is an issue that you have, then, you know, find a way around that if you can have more people and come up with an every other week schedule so that it's still fun to do and it doesn't become a job or it doesn't become a chore.
Yeah, I had two reasons. One was...
girls.
Unrealistic, yeah.
Because girls,
I was going to meet a lot of girls doing that. Yeah. Now, one was to hang out with my brother a little bit more, because although he says that we talk about that stuff, and you can't have your wife listen to this.
that's okay. I'll go.
Mainly, it was, you know, to have a little brother time and just shoot the shit for an hour and a half when we record. And so that was kind of the real reason inviting him. Well, besides he's kind of smarter than all of us.
he just uses bigger words and stuff. Yeah,
and stuff.
He just has that dictionary out in front of him. The unrealistic, but like also the immediate goal of what we're thinking is maybe we can get some free comic books out of this. Like, that would be very beneficial to my wallet. So.
Yeah, and we're like, not only free comics, but maybe down the road, like, we can get some press passes and get into the conventions for free, you know? I mean, it's like...
And then what?
And then buy more comics because we save money.
Yeah. And so we thought maybe, you know, 2 years down that might happen. And what we found out is we actually kind of blew up overnight, almost within the first couple weeks.
Yeah, it blew up fast.
How long have you guys been doing this?
10 months.
10.5 months.
Yeah, 10.5 months, yeah.
Yeah, and
it blew up in England.
Yeah, in England first. The power of social media. I mean, it was primarily through Twitter where they started, you know, I got on the Twitter, and Tony would hop on occasion too, and we kind of all have different roles in within our group here too. I mean, I do a lot of the Twitter, I do a lot of the email. Tony does a lot of he does pretty much all of the editing and posting of the podcasts. He also runs our Facebook. Kevin does a lot of the individual posts that go onto our website. And then Matt looks good. And
I show up every other week.
But yeah, Twitter, just getting on there and starting talking to people about stuff. And then we have the podcast come out and tweet it out to people. And make sure that we talked to the creators. And that's one of the things on our podcast. We always try to credit the writers, the artists, the inkers, the colorists, you know, who did the cover. We want those people to get credit for their work. By doing that, they started retweeting our podcasts, and people started paying attention because they have their own followers. And for whatever reason, England picked up on us first. And for a while, we were probably 2/3 downloads coming from England compared to the other third, you know, North America. And so it was surprising.
We were surprised and had no fucking clue how that happened or what.
We're okay with it.
Yeah, and so and now, like, I mean, if you listen to our podcast, one of our primary sponsors is Intercomics, which is an online retailer based in the UK. And, you know, they've been a great supporter of ours, and so we continue to work with them. So, yeah, it was just awkward and fun, but, yeah, we didn't expect it to be this big this fast.
And one of the things, too, you kind of mentioned, besides the social media, is mainly the social part. We are all extroverts. We talk to random people, and it's through those connections, regardless of who they are, how famous they are, how not famous they are, we will talk to you, and it's through those connections that we'll meet some other people. They may know someone, and then we get hooked up with an interview, and then that goes out on the webs, and that gets retweeted, and we get more listeners and more people that enjoy who we are.
Question in the back? What was fortunate is, like, these guys have been volunteering at conventions like this for a while, and so it helped them meet some people in that sense. So that's kind of helped us with coming to conventions, is being that nice guy. And then other than that, I'll let Derek talk about how he gets a lot of
the rest of it. Honestly, it's building relationships, getting on the social media and looking at who these people are, you know, and it's a twofold thing. We want to be beneficial to them, but we obviously want them to be beneficial to us as well. And so what we did with our, you know, our initial sponsorships were we trade advertising, you know, to get our name out there. That's one of the ways that we really worked to push it. There were people that would approach us and say, hey, we'd like to, you know, how much would it be for us to advertise, blah, blah, blah. And originally we started and said, we don't want money. We want you to help promote.
Yeah,
and
right now we want to build our base. I mean, eventually, sure, money would be great, and it'd be cool to do this for, like, a full-time job, but we still know that we're not there yet. Yeah. So it's through give and trade. If you're going to start giving shout-outs and having them you sponsor them, then they, in turn, are going to sponsor you to build your audience both directions. And that's kind of what we've been doing right now, and it's worked out great for us.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, too, just to finish off on this, is that when you're going out there, I mean, we look for people that are active on their social media because that's been the best way for us. But we also want to make sure that their website has traffic going to it and that they can properly display, you know, our stuff as well. And when that works, it's great. But I take a lot of time going through individuals, you know, that are interested, because I want to make sure that their message that's going out is a positive one as well.
Yeah, we always try to stay really positive. in our podcast. I mean, when you're talking about some of the bigger books, right? They've got broad shoulders. You can pick apart the art or the story and say what you didn't like about it. So it's not that, you know, everything that comes out of our mouth is just rainbows and sunshine. An earlier story, you know, when we were getting started, Tony had made a comment that Space Punisher sounded like a really stupid idea. But he hadn't read it yet. Derek was reviewing it, and Tony was just adding in his two cents. So
originally,
the idea, it kind of sounded like a dumb idea. I'm not going to lie there. But Frank Tieri, who was the writer for it, called Tony out on that.
Well, see, because when I posted the podcast, I'm like, hey, Frank, we reviewed your book, because the review itself was positive.
Yeah.
Tony's comment, maybe not so much.
Tony manned up and read it and then said, the next week we're like, all right, I judged too soon, and it was good. And Frank says, you know, it's so great to see someone apologize on the internet these days, because a lot of times people are like, well, it's my opinion, I don't care what you have to say. But, you know, we try to correct our mistakes, and that's pretty much the only time we've ever really had, like...
That's the only time we've ever made a mistake.
Yeah, pretty much. I had a few weeks ago, I called out Danica Patrick, the race car driver, for being... I saw her in an interview, and she just seemed so stupid. And I felt really bad when I was done with it. Like, that seems against our message to just dog on someone who isn't there to defend themselves.
Are you
going to
apologize to her right now? I'm sure she's listening.
No. I stand by my statements. But that's our point, is if you stay really positive and you show them, hey, you know, I'm not in it for the money. I'm really in it for the love of the comics and the love of what we're doing, that that base can grow. And, you know, you scratch their back, they'll scratch your back, and that should hopefully help you gain some followers and some references.
One of the things, kind of going back to equipment, is definitely having a good microphone if you're going to do podcasting.
Microphones that pick up every tap that you do.
Oh, shit. I'm doing it again. See, that's... It just happens. I apologize for the tap, tap, tappy. I will sit here with my arms crossed now. But getting a good mic is going to have listeners who are going to listen to you. You may have the best opinion in the world, but if it comes off as like screeching in their ears, they're never going to listen to your podcast again. Having a clear, voice through the earbuds, that goes a long ways.
Yeah, well, and I mean, like... Tony and I, we talked extensively when we were in the planning process of this, said, if it doesn't sound good, people aren't going to listen. Because there were a ton of podcasts that I listened to, and some of them, fantastic. Fantastic on what they're saying, what they're reviewing, and the knowledge that they have. I had to stop listening. I'm like, it sounds like crap. You know, and Tony's dead end. So, you know, we got in a lot on that, but... please continue on.
Oh, and so, and it's, you can get cheaper stuff. You can get expensive stuff. There's stuff right in the middle.
It's ridiculous how expensive that stuff goes. Yeah. I know I have a lot of musician friends, and I didn't realize what kind of coin they put down on their instruments, of course, one thing, but the recording equipment is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you know, and I mean, like, perfect example, I mean, for anybody that's interested in doing, you know, on-the-spot interviews, this little handheld that we're using to record here.
The little phaser-looking,
you know,
tranquilizer.
That by itself, I mean, you're pushing $300 on that thing, you know, but it's fantastic quality, especially in a situation where there's a lot of background noise, you know, and yeah, you're still going to pick it up, but you don't have to go walk outside. I mean, you guys know what it's like in the convention hall. It's loud, mm-hmm. You know, with just the sheer bustle of people moving, everybody talking, the occasional restaurant, I don't speak around 30%, you know, and it gets annoying, but that picks up great, you know, so.
But I don't want to say, though, that you have to spend that amount of money.
No.
But it's something that you do have to have in mind if you're going to do a show, is you're going to have to invest at least a little bit of money.
Well, I mean, let's take this microphone right here. This retails normally for about $89, $90. Or was it maybe 100?
Yeah, that was like 120 originally.
Yeah, but then, you know, we check out some bargain sites in the months leading up to our first recording. And we actually found it on a good deal.
And I mean, you can go out and do it and find it out there. The other big thing that we found, because, you know, I was adamant that I wanted us to be on iTunes, you know, and that I know that that's one of the major vessels for people to use when they're listening to podcasts. And we started, we recorded the first podcast, and we're like, all right, cool. Now what do we do with it?
I remember what you wanted to do with it. You wanted to put it up right away online, and I'm like, it's kind of getting late. And you're like, no, we got to put it up right now. And I believe it was a Sunday night.
It was a Saturday night.
No, was it a Saturday night?
Yeah, it was a Saturday originally.
It turned into Sunday as well because we didn't get done to it because we wanted to go out to the bar Saturday night. We said, we will put it up the next day, and then you were still at my house. I think it was 11, 12 o'clock on a Sunday night. And had to get up to work the next morning.
And I live an hour away, so. You know,
we were trying to find any hosting site that we could, a place that we could just put this up there, say it's Drunk on Comics, so that people could listen to it. And it was in the back of my head of, we need to have a portal. We need to have a spot where people can just go to us and get this. And we weren't finding anything that was easy. So
there are a lot of them that are out there, but they're in order to do it properly, it's a fee-based site, and we're cheap.
we're cheap and poor.
Well, you know,
we spend all of our money on comics, and our comic lists have grown since we started doing this.
Yeah, so what ended up happening is we looked into it, and we're like, all right, you know, this is $20 a month, this is $30 a month. We finally said, all right, screw it. Eventually, we want to have the website. And so we set up the website. The first, I don't know, was it maybe a month, month and a half, the website was, it was about maybe a month because it was roughly four episodes.
Very vanilla,
sure. And then, and our site has had upgrades, and we will be having to do another upgrade at some point here soon.
Because at first, the website, we were just using it as a means of...
creating an RSS feed, was it?
That was it, and a place that people could go and play the podcast.
Yeah.
But once we got, not until we actually dressed up the site that we actually started making posts on the site about reviews or cool other links that we're sharing with other sites.
And that's not to say that you can't use a free site, and definitely if it's your first forte in getting into this, maybe try one of those free sites first. But if you know you have an idea and you're going to run with it, it would be a wise investment to go to even a lot of those hosting sites too. When you first sign up the first year, it's pretty cheap the first year, and then they nab you the second year when they know that you need your website. So definitely check that out so that you have that place that you can start telling people, just go to this site instead of iTunes/DrunkOnComics/#Twitter. Facebook.internet. Yeah, MySpace. Oh, man.
Oh, dude, we've neglected our MySpace. By neglected, I mean never started one. We should, though, just for the hell of it.
We would be the only one active on MySpace.
So, do you guys have any questions or anything more? You guys, yeah.
If you, favorite, each one of your favorite comic book characters in the beer you'd associate with them?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good one.
God, I have so many.
Tony Stark.
Well, the first one that popped in my head was Tony Stark and all alcohol. So.
Actually, but now it's Tony Stark and O'Doul's.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. He's no longer an alcoholic. Well,
I have to say that one of my favorite characters is Dr. Doom. I love him. I just want to see that day when Doom actually gets to succeed at the end of the book. Because he always seems to get, you know, lose, and that's unfortunate. But a beer to go with him, you know, I really think that Doom is really classy. And, I mean, he's in Bavaria, so it probably should be a German beer. And there'd be all those purity laws to make it exactly the way it is. But I'm going to have to say I'd pair him with a Blue Sunday from New Holland. It's their sour ale, because I think at Doom's core he's sour and bitter, so.
A Blue Sunday?
It's Blue Sunday. Yeah.
I'm thinking like Sun D-A-Y.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like...
Ice cream? No, it's the day.
There, and I'm blanking on the name, but it's from Unibrow, and it's the, or Unibrew. I want to say it's the Oarsman, and it's a smoked whiskey peat brown ale. And I would probably, and I'm going to pair it with Daredevil, who's my favorite character, because a lot of sensory overload. It's damn good. So, Kevin,
you... The Juggernaut. Love the Juggernaut. I got a little homage to him in my basement with action figures and collectible cards. I have a specific beer brand, but I definitely pair Juggernaut with any Russian Imperial Stout, because it's bold, strong. It's
it'll just, knock you over.
And especially if you get it in a big oil can.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tony, you got anything? Or is your Iron Man
I think Iron Man. Okay. I mean, I can't. I like booze.
Got any other questions anybody wants to? All
right. Well, I got a question for you guys just to keep talking a bit.
Well, yeah, we got a little more time.
We got a few.
What was your? How'd you guys get into comics? Or at least tell the audience, because I'm pretty sure I know.
Yeah.
for me, oh wait, we got a question. Oh, how'd you get into comics?
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
Spend
$20 to $30. Yep.
Yeah. I miss those $20 a week days or $20 day weeks. Yeah, those are nice.
Actually, I have a question. Do you prefer
what
you're
saying,
some digital versus
handout?
Ooh.
Digital versus print type.
Well, and actually, if we can, let's mix in digital versus print, and then within print, single issues or graphic novels, you know, collected.
I like having books in my hand. I've not been a big fan of reading digital. However, I understand the appeal to it, and I think it's not a bad thing if it will drive the price down, so it's a cheaper alternative. Because obviously without the printed material, the inks and the paper, it should cost you less. So if they continue to kind of like give you a discount to get digital, I would be, you know, all for that and maybe someday consider doing it. But this goes with like textbooks too. I'm a teacher and, you know, so many students are like, can I get that as a digital textbook? I'm like, don't you want to like write in your textbooks and use the book? So I like paper copies and I don't mind big graphic novels that collect them all, because that's, you know, a cheaper way, but usually I'm too impatient for the stories that I'm usually reading. So
Tone?
Digital, I understand, and it helps reach a wider audience, but ultimately, and I think though we will still always have the print type of media, but I'm not liking the pricing of the digital, as my brother was saying. It's especially even some of the older issues where you can come to a convention here and go through the 50 cent or quarter bin, when online it would be just free money if they did the first original run of Silver Surfers, you know, for maybe $5 for the entire run.
Well, yeah, but
how many people would buy that?
Well, Marvel does have that new unlimited app, I think, or whatever it's called, where you go on, it's like an $8 a month or $60 for the year or whatever, I don't know what it was, where you like all of their stuff that is X number of months or a year and older that you can read as much as you want.
And that's awesome, but that's the thing.
Yeah, right.
You don't get to keep it.
It's like Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and our guy who started reading manga, there was, I can't remember the name of the company right now, but just recently it was a pretty big manga site and people had subscriptions there. And so they had downloaded and they paid for all their comics and stuff, but they went under. And now all those people who paid that money, they don't get their comics. They don't have anything. They weren't able to download the file to their own computer so they continue reading it. And they don't have, like, a copy they can go back to. So I think, in that sense, digital has some, you know, some kinks to work out. But again, like I said, if you can get the pricing right, I think that you'll find the customers there. But I personally like singles.
But now Kevin's been buying some digital.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. I still want a physical copy just because I feel like I own it. And really, not so much for that. I think it's going to be worth money someday.
You're not Derek.
No. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Well, that's a different story.
Yeah. do you still buy Overstreets?
Yeah, I typically do buy the price guide every year.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I've been warming to it a little bit. Like, there's this recent review that I did for it's called Let's Fix This. And I took a leap of faith because if I really like time travel stories. That one was $6.99.
It was 120 pages. But you know, the bonus
pages are a very quick read, 120 pages.
Ooh, yeah.
But you know what? I felt confident enough that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this. But also having a kind of a shitty comic book store in my area also influences me with that too, because they only primarily stick to DC and Marvel. Yeah. I asked them, like, we were talking about Spawn the other day. I'm like, fuck, I haven't picked that up since they were in the teens issues. And I'm like, do you carry Spawn? He's like, nah. Like, he doesn't carry that. And so I'm also being kind of forced to do that too.
Yeah. Now for me, like, I am definitely a collector. I am ADD on my collecting when, you know, it comes to, and OCD, I guess I should say. I have an extensive database with every single book that I own listed by, you know, title, number, publisher, writer, artist, inker, colorist, who did the cover, if it's a variant, if it's been signed. I mean, everything is in there because I want to know when I come to these conventions. I mean, I brought almost 200 books to get signed this weekend if I could. Not going to happen. We're too busy. But, you know, but it's, I love the single issue printed copy. I rarely buy the trades, although on occasion, like The Walking Dead, for instance, I could never afford to go back and get that collection, and I wanted to get into it, and so I did that. Where I do see a major bonus for digital is when they do the free issues, because I've gone on to Comixology, and I think I've only purchased 2 comics digitally, but I'll go on with the free and go, you know, I've always wanted to check that out, and here you go. You know, it's the drug dealer to me going, hey, the first one's on us, you know. And so that's a bonus. And then I go back. But the big thing for me with comics is, especially the older issues, there's a clear difference in how it appears on that newsprint versus how it appears on a tablet or computer screen. And then the other thing on those older issues is, flat out, it's the smell. It's, you know, that comes with it. It takes me right back to my childhood, you know, where Tony was asking how we get into comics. Takes me back to being 6-7 years old, going fishing with my dad on the weekends, and, you know, we'd sleep in the back of the Blazer, and he'd buy me a Spider-Man comic at the, you know, the corner shop. And, you know, you open that up, and I swear to God, I'm laying on a sleeping bag with my feet kicked up behind me on the pillow, leaning like I was, you know, a little kid. And that's what one of the things I love, so.
Crowley bought you Spider-Man number 1, didn't he? Because you're so old.
And Derek let it go to waste. That's why he's so OCD.
Well, but I had to turn it in, you know, for all the paper recycling during the big war. Okay. Yeah.
Any other questions from our audience? Or? Cool. Yeah.
What is your favorite single issue?
I could answer this.
Yeah,
These guys could all.
What great comic books can be.
For me, it's. I mean, there's a. It's not. Well, it is a story. It's a lot of things of why I love this issue. It's something that I hunted for forever, and I found it here, thank God, and I had Stanley sign it. Fantastic Four number 48. first appearance of Silver Surfer and Galactus, and that right there is the reason why. It's Silver Surfer is one of my favorite characters, also Fantastic Four, so you got them in the same book, but it's also the first appearance of Silver Surfer, so it's not just the team-up. And then you have Galactus, who I am a big universal, like I like the cosmic stuff, Guardians of the Galaxy, everything, and just knowing the history of when Stan Lee created Galactus and came up with that name and everything
Jack
about...
Jack Kirby imagined and drew it down on the page, so...
Yeah, just that issue to me is, like, number one, and that I found it here and I got it signed by Stan Lee. I'm, like, kid in a candy store this whole weekend, so...
And you love the fact that it has the Watcher on the cover.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I love the Watcher.
I hate the Watcher.
So. I'd say this is probably an odd answer, but... it's because I had a really kind of profound moment for comics. You know, people always say, oh, comics can, you know, change social issues and stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, but I'm more into the stories of the heroes and stuff. But it was a Cable and Deadpool issue. And I can't remember what number it was, but Cable was doing all those interviews with the redhead Meredith, something like that. But and he started talking about, she was like, so why are you creating your Providence Island? He goes, is this communism, is socialism? He goes, you know, all these governments use isms, and the isms put them in a little box that says, if you have capitalism, then you can only do capitalism, you can't do anything else. And he goes, why can't we take the best parts of those different systems? And I was in college at the time, so of course I'm really cerebral and thinking about things. I was like, yeah, that's right, Cable, and I'm going to use you in my next class to talk about, like, what other... So it was, for me, that was one of my favorite issues because it told, you know, it kind of taught me something that I could take outside the comic. So and to come from like Marvel, it was kind of a surprise because there's, you know, it's usually the independent titles that really challenge you, you know, socially or cerebrally. But that one was one of my favorites. So,
all right. So find a number. So when I started, one of the very first series that I read, and to specifically answer the question, it's gonna be Infinity War number 3.
Interesting.
Yeah, only because I dove into the comics, both feet with that issue, because that featured like the entire Marvel universe yeah. in that issue. big, huge fights, and then a big climax, a cliffhanger, leading it obviously into issue 4, because it's 3.
Yeah, there weren't point ones back then.
So
they didn't stop to renumber after 3.
Yeah. So just because it was like a sensory overload, and I still think about that. I haven't read it in a long time.
I think he's going to do it for the long box section very soon.
I think we probably should. Mine is Uncanny X-Men number 213. It's where Psylocke joins the team. It's the Chris Claremont and Alan Davis, the one guest issue that Alan did on that. It's that iconic cover of Wolverine and Sabretooth face-to-face, you know, just the whole, you know, cover. It was my first X-Men comic. You know, I'd read a whole bunch of just random stuff as a kid, and it was so well written in that issue that Claremont introduced you to everybody on the team in that and gave you enough information that made you go, okay, I know who they are, but I really want to know more. And it was right during the Mutant Massacre. It drew me in. They're in turmoil. They're struggling. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. And that's what hooked me into comics and wanted to go back and buy more comics and find out who it was and, you know, who this guy was, who that girl was. And I own a few copies of that issue for sure. But... you know, that's just been my hands-down favorite of all time. So that's the one where when people ask me, too, where should I start with the X-Men if I don't want to just jump in current time, go read that one. I think it's one of the best places to jump in. And, you know, but we talk about jumping into comics a lot, you know. And,
yeah.
And I think one of the things with it, too, is that a lot of people, if it is a big two-type comic or even some of the longer-running Image comics, people got to remember these are serials. They're really no different than a soap opera in that sense. That, I mean, how many years has General Hospital been on the air? But yet they constantly get new watchers.
Yeah.
So
it really is, and I think one of the advice that, I mean, what's really nice about doing this with these guys is that other than Derek, who doesn't want his books to come out of the cover or the sleeve more than once the first time he read them, Tony and I share comics back and forth. He gets a lot of the X-Men titles. I'll get a lot of the Avenger titles. And then some will pick up some random stuff here and there. And so what's really nice is sharing. Having a group of friends where you guys can all agree to share comics will really help keep your monthly contributions down.
Almost like a book club.
Yeah, it is almost like
a book club.
Yeah, like I said, I'm OCD, so like comics have to be handled properly. Yeah. Any other questions before we wrap it up?
So you guys have mentioned the little guy a lot. Are there any smaller companies
that you're checking out? My two favorite are Boom Studios and Aspen Comics. As far as the smaller publishers, I think they put out some really, really great quality stuff. I mean, you know, month after month and week after week. But, you know, we check out everything. I mean,
we try to check out everything.
Yeah, well, we try and check out as much as we can. I mean, one of the nice things is that we get, you know, previews emailed to us from a lot of these smaller publishers, so we get a chance to see them. You come to these conventions. I mean, the podcast we did yesterday, I talked about a book from Source Point Press where, you know, both the writer and artist are here, and it's kind of their company that they're starting their own publishing company as well. Another preview, which I don't know exactly how they're going through. They don't even have a publisher. It's just listed on there. It's just their own 8-page teaser for what was it? Pure Human.
Yeah.
I mean, just there's some great stuff out there. Sometimes you got to search for it a little bit more, which that's one of the reasons why we make sure every week we talk about at least one independent book.
Yeah. Sometimes we do. I mean, sometimes we'll do off the shelf. We're like, this book was so cool, I want to talk about this too. So we, you know,
yeah.
Like Helheim is one of the ones that I'm following right now. And it's from Oni Press.
Yeah.
And that one's, you know.
Yeah, and it's hard to say, though, the small guys, what that means. Because to us, it's pretty much anyone that's not DC or Marvel.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes, you know, even to me, though, Image can fall into one of the big guys.
Yeah. Dark Horse is kind of one of the big guys. Well, IDW is probably on that.
I was going to say, IDW.
I'm thinking is bigger and bigger because a couple of the properties that they have.
Yeah.
I think they used to be, not one of the big guys, but just with pretty much they bought your childhood. Like, that is what they are known for. With Voltron, Transformers, G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones that bought the Cartoon Network shows, or they're doing the Samurai Jack and Powerpuff.
I don't remember if it was
I think it
might have been Boom.
Boom's been buying some childhood too. They both are trying to tear at our heartstrings, being like, which ones to read more.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think one of the great things, though, too, with some of those smaller publishers, one of the reasons why I love Aspen and they're smart, and it kind of goes back to the digital thing that we're talking with, giving the free one away, is that a lot of their first issues are $1. You know, and the retailers aren't super thrilled with that because they aren't making as much money on it. But at the same time, if you hook somebody into a new series, I mean, I got into Fanboys vs. Zombies because it was $1. I never would have picked it up based on the name and for a $3.99 first issue.
I got Son of Merlin because it was only $1. And it's also a limited run, so that makes me, you know, cool. I only have to buy this for five months and then I can refill it in with some new title.
I take it back. My favorite little guy publisher, Aspen, it's just because of their art. I mean, well, their stores are phenomenal too, but you can look at any one of their pages and it's just like, where the fuck did they get this talent?
Mm-hmm. If you're looking to build a podcast, like you're saying, making connections and stuff, you're probably going to find a lot more success with smaller companies because they're more willing to say, yeah, we need you to advertise for us. You won't even get a response back from a big company.
Well, and it's nice too. I mean, you know, like I said, part of the thing that I do is I handle a lot of the email. Some of these smaller publishers, I mean, you get to know them on a personal level through their...
Yeah, who's it? Someone was leaving their position in the company.
Actually, it was at Aspen. Yeah. There was a wonderful young woman there that was working there that she left, and I felt sad when she left. I mean, because like you actually develop a good quality, you know, business relationship with these people, and you know, it gets to the point where it's like, oh, well, how was your weekend? Yeah. You know? And it's great. You know, I don't know if you'll get that with the bigger publishers.
Yeah.
Cool.
So. It is interesting. We do a video series, and we just started out doing 2-3 weeks ago at CTV.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and one of the nice things with the smaller publishers, too, is that they will actually help promote your reviews and your podcasts and all that, you know, so that it helps put you out there. But they're very, very gracious for the fact that you're taking the time to read and buy their books and then also talk about them.
Yeah.
You know. So.
I want to keep talking until Dirk walks in, so.
Yeah. Oh, I'm fine with that, you know. When he comes in, everybody has to do the Manning pose. So I don't know I guess one of the other things that I know people ask us too is where, you know, where we think we're going, you know,
like
we're going to the bar, and I'm hoping we're going to the bar, but you know, for Drunk on Comics, I mean, Tony, what are you hoping that this becomes or where it goes?
Like I said, where it goes, it would, oh, where I hope is that it's a full-time job where we can just honestly have enough money to buy any comic book we want, and that we just have the free time to where we can sit down and record this anytime we want, or just pretty much
get paid to drink beer and read comics is what you want.
Yeah.
You
know? What I'd like to see is, I don't know if anyone's familiar with the website The Gutters, they're awesome. They also own a comic shop, and they also they are self-published under Blind Ferret. They do an online comic called Looking for Group, as well as The Gutters. And The Gutters pages are all satires of the comic industry, so they're a great laugh and actually a pretty good source of news. But what I'd like to see our website and stuff, it would be a place that people would come to, check out some fun things about about comics, have a good laugh or two, and pretty much have fun, and then transfer on to wherever they're looking to, you know, to buy.
Yeah, before my brother rudely interrupted me, I wanted to say that's what I want our webpage to be, is the place to go for your news, where we will make it in a fun way. But when we do the podcast once a week, usually we're talking about news that's happened throughout the week. I would like to have our site be the place where we do multiple other podcasts, where we can sell stuff, but where when people are thinking where they're going to get their comic book news from, we are those guys.
Tony, I'm imagining the breaking news.
This just in. But obviously that takes a lot more time and more commitment. So it's if things can continue to go, I think our next step is probably to try to get some sponsors and get an account set up so we can take money, which would then fuel it. But you know, if you're
interested in donating, I know that's what you're trying to say. Yeah.
No, I was just gonna say we're pretty realistic that, you know, right now where we're at is we do this because we love it, because we're having fun, and I think that it's nice right now because we don't have that pressure of we have to make money or we've invested our futures into the company. I don't think we'd ever do that unless it just the road to that just keeps transitioning there, then we might take the risk.
I think one of the biggest, you know, benefits for me though too, and I'm kind of curious what you guys think, one of the nicest things is like just getting the time to sit and talk to the artists and the writers and the creators themselves. I mean, picking their brains, you know, and finding out, hey, you know, what's going on with you know, your style, what brought you to do this, you know, how are you doing whatever it is. Some of those people are just amazing just to talk to. I mean, they're just a lot of fun, and that's been a huge, huge bonus for me.
I like talking to our fans too, Derek.
I do like talking to our fans, and that's a great thing. Go on Twitter, because that's where we have a lot of conversation. We try and do some on Facebook, but you don't get the updates on Facebook. The Facebook fan pages are weird little beans by themselves.
But Kevin, where do you think we're going?
Honestly, My next goal is that if we do a little thing like this again for Motor City or whoever else we go to, is that they cover our hotel room.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, you know what? I'm just I just have
to be a wanted commodity that they'll cover their hotel.
I don't really think of it too much as work.
The great thing is, Kevin, next year we'll be doing this interview. Yeah, and where I hope from here next year, I would really like.
Yeah, we got we yeah. We got our hotel paid for, but I just wish I had some food money now. What I can say for what our immediate future holds is we got a lot of interviews that we did this weekend coming on up. We're gonna have our 1 year anniversary special, which will be
the new 52.
No, technically it's not been a year.
Yeah, because we had a couple extra interviews.
Yeah, I don't know. Our numbering has somehow gone off to where we're going to be a year in a couple more episodes, but we've jumped a couple.
Well, it's because we had some, like the Olympics episode that was a special edition that got numbered, and then there was like a Kevin and Derek drink beer and talk about random shit,
but,
you know, that got numbered.
I'm just going to say this right now. It's going to be a very awesome episode. I won't spoil what we're going to do, mainly because I haven't thought up what we're going to do.
I want to know.
I actually just came up with an idea, but I don't want to share it yet because of legality reasons. I'll let you guys know after this. Look forward to, as well, the Drunkie Awards. It is an awards show that we are going to have for our favorite artists, for our favorite comic book people. It's going to be just messed up. It's just going to be, we'll have the pictures, but the Drunkie Award is going to be a beer bottle.
Don't tell him.
Oh,
don't tell him.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a secret.
It hasn't been released yet. It's not new comic book day.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't thought of it all the way.
But that's what we got.
No, Dirk Manning, our friend of the show, he's got the panel room next year, and we've succeeded in talking until he showed up.
He could actually watch us do a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Dirk broke our Skype cherry.
Yeah, he was our first Skype.
Yeah.
So, on behalf of Drunk on Comics, guys, you know, keep reading comics. Hope you still love the industry and drink responsibly.
And hopefully, guys, you still like us after hearing us live.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yes. We can keep those applause in there.
So, yeah, that was our panel.
Yeah, that was actually that was kind of fun. I mean, considering how busy it was and that, you know, the panel rooms were a little tougher to find, not impossible, but it was just so crazy to get to them.
Dude, they were fucking impossible to find. It was BFE.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. Well, we found it.
Yeah. After we got lost twice. I got lost twice trying to find it.
Oh, I never got lost.
But it was cool having some of our fans actually find it. They followed the map that we left and were able to get there.
That map was insane. But, yeah, no, it's I think one of the other fun things, too, besides, you know, because I know not everybody made it to the panel, but we had a lot of people stop at the booth and just talk to us about, you know, what we do and, you know. It was a hell of a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to our next convention, which is the next one we're scheduled for is
GrandCon.
Yep, in Grand Rapids. It's September sometime. I'm not sure the dates off the top of my head, but you'll be hearing a lot about it here coming up soon.
Yep, so thanks for listening.
Yeah, you got to tell them to stop.
This is the end.
Stop.
Stop.